Greetings, old-time radio fans, and welcome to another hour of listening and entertainment. I'm your host, Corey Walker, and I invite you to gather around your old part of the radio for a journey back to the vaults of radio history to hear two more selections from the golden age of radio. Today is Father's Day if you're listening to the program on a Sunday, and I selected two Father's Day-themed episodes for your listening pleasure. First up, the Jack Benny program, which had a lengthy run on radio from May 2, 1932 till May 22, 1955, switching at various times between NBC and CBS. The main cast members of the program over the years were Jack Benny himself, along with Benny's wife Mary Livingston, and Don Wilson as the announcer for most of the program's run. Mel Blanche, the man of a thousand voices, played many supporting roles over the years, particularly that of Carmichael, Benny's basement-dwelling polar bear. Today's program is from Sunday, June 18, 1939, and was first heard at 7 p.m. on NBC. The episode is fittingly titled Father's Day. Enjoy.
The Jell-O program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Kenny Baker, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with Confidentially. Played by the orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, this being Father's Day, we bring you a man who is daddy to a polar bear, Jack Benny.
Thank you. Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking, and Don, you're right. I do take rather a paternal attitude toward Carmichael. You know, that animal is like a child of mine. He's so affectionate.
You're really very fond of him, aren't you, Jack?
I certainly am. Believe me, we're going to have a lot of fun this summer on our trip to Alaska.
Oh, are you taking Carmichael to Alaska?
Yes, he has relatives in Skagway. Two uncles and a sister-in-law, I believe. By the way, Don, what are you going to do on your vacation?
Well, I haven't planned very much, Jack, but let me tell you something. When you see me next season, you're due for a big surprise.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm going on a diet this summer and take off 10 pounds.
My, my.
You'll never know me.
Don, you could take 10 pounds off your lower lip and nobody would know. Now, when you go on a diet, you ought to try and take off about 50 or 60 pounds. Why, you'd even feel better.
Jack, this may surprise you, but I'm not as fat as you think. What appears to be fat is really muscle.
Oh, wow.
My stomach, for instance, is as solid as the Rock of Gibraltar.
Oh, it is. Well, Don, I saw you playing golf the other day in nothing but a pair of shorts, and Gibraltar was out of bounds. What a physique.
Say, Jack.
Yes, Phil.
I wouldn't talk about Don's figure if I were you. I've seen you around your swimming pool, and you're no Adonis in a bathing suit.
Oh, I'm not, eh?
Your chest caves in, your stomach sticks out, and your legs look like they were tired of it all.
Well, Phil, you don't even have to get undressed to lose a beauty contest. You know, your nose looks like a pack mule with those bags hanging down each side. And by the way, have you got your other bag packed for Waukegan? You know, we're leaving tonight right after the broadcast.
I'm all set, Jackson.
Yeah, I can hardly wait to see all my old friends and pals. Yeah, I'm excited as a kid all week thinking about it.
I can imagine. Where are we going to live when we get there, Jack?
Well, you fellas are going to stay at the Hotel Waukegan. So you stopped there last summer, didn't you, Phil?
Yeah.
Oh, you'll love it, Don. It's a swell hotel. Very modern.
Go on. They got a house detective there with a bow and arrow.
Is that so?
And if you're not downstairs by 7 a.m., they send a maid up to see if you're dead.
Well, that's because Waukegan is a wide-awake town. Everybody gets up early.
Are you going to live at the hotel, Jack?
Well, I'm not sure, Don. I'll probably stay with relatives. I don't know whether to live at Aunt Clara's or Aunt Molly's or Cousin Sudie's. They're all so anxious to entertain me.
Well, which one is the closest to town?
Aunt Molly. She lives right over the elite Turkish bath. As a matter of fact, she's a rubber there. Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. Oh, say, Jack, I just got a wire from Mom, and she won't be able to meet us in Waukegan.
Well, I'm just sick about that. What does your mother say?
She says that, dear Mary, we'll be unable to take the train to Waukegan as your grandfather, who is off the beam again, cut paper dolls out of the tickets.
No. Well, maybe you can go to Plainfield afterwards and visit your mother and father. By the way, Mary, this is Father's Day. Did you send your dad anything?
I sure did. I sent Papa some cufflinks and studs for his dress shirt.
Dress shirt? Well, your father never wore a full dress suit in his life.
He does now. He got a job with an escort service.
Oh, fine.
Now when he takes Mom to the movies, he charges her 60 cents an hour.
Well, it's worth it to go out with her. Anyway, Mary, I'm glad you remembered your father. That was a sweet thought.
Not only that, I sent him the cutest card with it, and I made up the words myself.
You did? What was it?
Oh, Daddy dear, I send you cufflinks with good cheer. And when you hawk them, which you'll do, if you can't get five, go ahead, take two.
Well, that's a lovely sentiment. He'll probably take advantage of it.
Say, Jack, I sent a present to my father down in Tennessee that he'll be crazy about. I sent him a vacation outfit.
A vacation outfit?
Yeah, a hammock, a jug, and a fly swatter.
Well, he's all set for the summer. What does your father do in the winter, Phil?
Same thing, only we give him a blanket.
Well, that's the life, I suppose. Take it easy and don't worry about anything. You know, it's kind of nice that Dad gets a break once a year. I sent my father a pair of leggings.
Oh, is he still with Western Union?
No. He wears them when he goes horseback riding.
Say, Jack, you know what I sent my father for a present?
Yes, Don, I know how many flavors it has, so don't get cute.
Hello, Jack.
Oh, hiya, Kenny. Say, Kenny, are you all set to leave for Waukegan? You know, we're going right after the broadcast.
Oh, sure. I got my suitcase downstairs on the sidewalk.
On the sidewalk? Well, for heaven's sake, bring it in. Somebody's liable to steal it.
Well, don't worry. Nobody will touch my suitcase.
How do you know?
I printed J. Edgar Hoover on it.
Well, that's very clever, Kenny. How'd you ever happen to figure that?
Oh, Kid Baker has a flash once in a while.
You have it there. Now, Kenny, when we get to Waukegan, I want you to be on your best behavior and make a good impression. You know, I don't want you whistling at the girls like you do here.
Can I wink at them?
No. You can't whistle and you can't wink, so watch yourself. And now, folks...
Can I wiggle my ears?
No. You won't show off at all. I want everybody in Waukegan to say, now there's a nice boy. And now, folks...
I'd rather have them run me out of town.
Kenny... I don't want to hear another word about it. And now, folks, we will have a song by our fresh young tenor who's going to get his canoe paddled if he doesn't watch out. Now, go ahead. Hold it a minute. Come in.
Mr. Benny?
Yes?
I just dropped in to wish you a very pleasant trip to Waukegan and to tell you that I'll miss you while you're gone.
Well, thanks very much. Well, what are you standing there for?
Ain't you going to kiss me goodbye?
No, I'm not. Get out of here. He's the most affectionate lunatic I ever met. Sing, Kenny.
Me. the one moment that I thought I never could live through. But now somehow that it's here, my dear, that police fear has gone away. And saying goodbye seems sweet. It's plain that fate didn't want us on a one-way street. Don't worry about me. I'll get along. Forget about me. Be happy, my love. Let's say that our little story is over and for the story ends. Why not call it a day, a sensible way, and still be friends? Look out for yourself. Give your heart and your love to whomever you love. Don't be a fool. Darling, why should you cling to some greater thing than you? If you can forget, don't worry.
Don't Worry About Me, sung by Kenny Baker. And, Kenny, before I forget, I saw your picture, The Mikado, last night, and I thought you were swell in it. You look great in Technicolor.
Oh, I thought I was too darn pretty.
Well, that oughtn't to worry you. Good looks never hurt anybody. At least, it's never hurt me.
Can I say something, Jack?
No. Anyway, The Mikado was a swell picture, Kenny, and you were grand in it.
The Mikado? Say, that's a Western, ain't it?
That was our musical director, folks. Phil, for your information, the Mikado is one of the most famous operettas ever written.
No kidding.
You're a fine musician, Phil. For you to pick up a baton and lead an orchestra is perjury.
Why, Jack Benny, you didn't know what the Mikado was yourself until you saw the picture.
I didn't know what the Mikado was? Why, Mary Livingston, before we went into the theater, I told you it was an Oriental story.
You told me Charlie Chan was in it, too.
All right, so I made one little mistake. But Phil has no excuse. He's supposed to have studied music.
That studying don't mean nothing. Why, some of our greatest musical geniuses never studied music.
Name one.
Abe Lyman.
Oh, fine. Lyman is worse than you are. He directs his boys with a rawhide whip. You know, funny thing about you and Lyman, Phil, you both started out as drummers, and now you both have your own orchestras.
Proving what?
Proving hooray for the red, white, and blue. It could only happen here. That's what.
Oh, Jack, why do you criticize other musicians? You took violin lessons for 12 years, and all you can play is Love and Bloom.
All I can play is Love and Bloom? What's the matter with Thanks for the Memory? What's the matter with Deep Purple?
Nothing until you start clawing on them.
Listen, Mary, your opinion doesn't matter very much. If you want to know something, I've been complimented by Heifetz.
Heifetz? Why, Heifetz doesn't even know you're alive.
He does, too, because he tried to shoot me once. It was at the Penn Theater in Wilkes-Barre. So don't be so smart. You know, I don't like to pat myself on the back all the time, but there's one instrument I've really mastered. Well, I can make a violin talk.
You certainly can, Jack.
Thanks, Don.
Why, many's the time I've heard your violin say, I'm proud to snuggle under the chin of a man who works for Jell-O.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Because Jell-O is economical, easy to make, and comes in six delicious flavors. Strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime.
You mean my violin even knows the flavor?
Yes, sir.
Well, isn't that amazing?
This stuff is strictly for the kids.
It's pretty subtle, Baker, so go and sit down. And now, ladies and gentlemen, going from my talking violin to our last play of the season, tonight, the Benny Run, Do Not Walk to the Nearest Exit Players, will present for your amusement, approval, and edification that stirring melodrama of the gay 90s, Lavender and Old Louse. Now, I will play Lavender, and our maestro will be the rest of the title. Now, in this play, I'll take it. Hello?
Hello, boss. This is Rochester.
All right. What do you want?
Well, I just finished pressing your clothes for the trip, and I don't think you ought to take your white flannels with you.
Why not?
Well, you know that trouble I have with the toast every morning.
Yes?
Well, the same thing happened to your flannels, only I had to pressing the clothes.
Rochester, did you burn a hole in my new white flannels?
It ain't my fault, boss. It's that cheap material.
Cheap material? What are you talking about? I paid $45 for those pants.
$45?
Yes.
Is this you, boss?
Yes, it's me. And don't act so surprised. By the way, is Carmichael all ready?
I think you're making a mistake taking that polar bear to Waukegan.
Well, I'm going to leave him. I'm not going to leave him in the house by himself for 2 weeks. He'll get lonely.
Why don't you rug him?
Rug him? Rochester, I'm getting tired of these constant threats against Carmichael. Now, put him in that big packing box and take him to the station.
I can't put him in that box, boss.
Why not?
I'm talking from there now.
You're in the packing case? Well, for heaven's sake, where's Carmichael?
He's sitting on the lid.
Oh, my goodness.
If I had a long pin, I'd dethrone him.
Oh, stop playing with that animal and finish packing. And by the way, Rochester, I'm taking my violin with me, so don't forget it.
Doggone, I looked high and low for that fiddle, and I can't find it nowhere.
Oh, well, I suppose it never occurred to you to look in my violin case.
I did, boss.
Well?
There ain't nothing there but four strings and a fat termite.
Now, don't give me that. The violin is around someplace. Now, get everything together. My trunks, bags, Carmichael, violin, and hurry down to the station.
Okay. Can I take a taxi?
What's the matter? Have the buses stopped running? Now, hang up and get going.
Okay. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Doggone, if I could get $3 a head, I'd quit this job.
What? What did you say?
Didn't I hang up?
No, you didn't.
Well, here goes. So long, boss.
The guy is always complaining. Never saw such a guy. Now he wants to ride in taxi cabs. Oh, well. Getting back to our play, the opening scene...
Say, Jack, I don't think we're going to be able to do our play tonight. Look what time it is.
Oh, yes, the train leaves in about 40 minutes, and we've got to get downtown.
Where do we leave from?
The New Union Station. Phil, have you got your car here?
Yeah, I'll have my guitar player run us down.
Oh, you mean Happy Bolivar? That's swell. Come on, Mary, we'll be late.
Wait a minute. I got to kiss the orchestra goodbye.
Put down that piano player and come on. So long, boys. See you at the station.
So long. So long, Jack. So long. So long. Hit it, man.
Stick close to me, everybody. I don't want anyone missing the train. I'll call the roll. Don Wilson?
Here.
Mary Livingston?
Oh, Jack, stop acting like a scoutmaster.
Well, I'm trying to be systematic.
Hey, Kenny, get a load of that blonde. Wow, what a doll.
Ain't she something?
Hiya, babe.
Hello, Kenny.
Why, Kenny, do you know her?
Yeah, that's my Aunt Rosie.
Well, she ain't my aunt. Wait a minute, Rosie.
Bill, come back here. You'll miss the train. Oh, Don, take a look around. See if you can find Andy in Rochester.
Okay, Jack.
See, I don't know where they are.
All aboard. Train leaving on track 3 for Santa Monica, Santa Clara, Santa Anita, Santa Barbara, and Santa present to your dad is Father's Day. Boy!
Well, he's a topical announcer, I'll say that. Hey, Kenny, where's your suitcase?
Somebody stole it.
Somebody stole it? Well, that's awful. What are you going to wear on the train tonight? You haven't got pajamas or anything.
I'll lend him a pair of my pajamas, Jack.
Just give him the uppers, Don. He can use it for a nightgown.
And tie a bell around his neck. He might get lost.
Yeah.
Oh, this is too complicated. I'll sleep raw.
Sleep any way you want to. I don't care. Say, Mary, I'm going over and buy the tickets. I haven't got them yet.
Okay, Jack. I'm going to get some magazines. Meet me here.
All right. Well, let's see. Where's the ticket window? Oh, here it is. Pardon me, I'd like to buy 7 tickets to Waukegan.
Waukegan, that's in Asia Minor, isn't it?
No, it's in Illinois. I want 7 round-trip tickets to Waukegan, Illinois.
Why don't you buy one way? You might like it there.
I know I like it there. It's my hometown. But I got to come back here. I'm in pictures.
So was I, and look at me now.
Well, that's your tough luck. Now hurry up, I got to make a train.
Okay, here you are.
And oh, yes, I want berths. I want 4 uppers and 3 lowers.
Well, you know, the lowers are higher than the uppers.
I know. I did that in vaudeville 20 years ago. So don't start that routine. Just give me the berth.
Here you are.
Thanks. Gee, what a guy.
Have a nice trip, Deadpan.
Deadpan, he wants me to laugh yet.
All aboard! Train leaving on track 16 for Louisville and Bowling Green, Nashville, Knoxville, Vicksburg 2, and all points south on the Choo Choo Choo.
That guy has more fun than the Ritz brothers. Now, let's see, where's the magazine stand? Oh, there's Mary now. Hey, Mary.
Yeah?
Did you get your magazine?
Uh-huh. I got Look, Pick, Click, and Cluck.
Oh, Cluck, that's that new one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got Kenny Baker's picture on the cover.
Well, that ought to sell 1 million copies. Come on back there with me, Mary. I want to get a book.
Okay.
I want to get something you like. A good mystery or something.
Why don't you get Ferdinand the Bull?
Ferdinand the Bull isn't a mystery.
He is to the other bulls.
I'll pick out my own book. Now, here we are.
How do you do, sir?
How do you do? I'd like to get a book, please. A real good mystery story.
Yes, sir. Have you read Phil Harris and His Gang or Murder at the Wilshire Bowl?
No, but I get what you mean.
Say, Jack, here's a swell book, and it's a special.
A special? What is it?
The Rain Came and an Umbrella for $2.50.
Oh, that's by Lewis Bromfield. He's a little too deep for me. Say, buddy, what's your best seller here?
Well, our most popular book is Twin for Tristan Ugin by Cancer Jr.
Funny, I never heard of that.
Why, it's very popular. He also wrote Swinging to Wilson, and The Life of Amos and Wilson.
Oh, never mind. Come on, Mary.
Wait a minute. Why don't you take this one, Jack?
What's that?
Ralph Ram Did It by George P. Swanfum.
Don't you start that stuff. Hey, buddy, just give me a Saturday evening pose.
There you are.
Come on, Mary, let's go.
Goodbye, any kind of pose. Oh, please.
I meet the most unusual people. I wish Rochester would get here. He's making me very nervous. There's Don Wilson. Oh, Don.
That's the information booth.
I mean next to it.
Pardon me, mister.
No, now what?
Can you tell me what time the airplane leaves here for San Francisco?
Airplane? I'm afraid you're going to have a little trouble, buddy. Airplanes don't leave from a railroad station.
Oh, you're one of those wise guys that knows everything.
I'm not a wise guy, but I know you can't take an airplane from a railroad station.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Board, airplane leaving on track 8. We'll take it straight up to Salinas, Oakland, and San Francisco. Board!
What?
You see, you big smarty.
Oh, go pin your hair up. Fresh guy.
Well, Jack, I found Andy. Here he is.
Hiya, bud.
Well, Andy, I was worried about you.
see, you got a lot of friends at the station. Are you all excited about going to Waukegan with us?
Yeah, but gee, I'm scared. I've never been on a train before.
Well, you'll get a big kick out of it. Did you bring your pajamas?
Pajamas? Doggone, can you sleep on a train?
Why, of course, certainly.
Well, I'll be darned. Can you eat, too?
Yeah, Jack brought sandwiches.
One more crack and you won't get any. Where am I? Oh. Now, let's get over. Hate to miss my place at a station. Now, let's get over to the gate.
How long does it take to go to Waukegan anyway?
Well, Andy, we'll be on the train for 2 whole days and 2 nights.
We will?
Yep.
But say, Buck, do they have...
Yes, yes. Don't worry. Be all right.
What are we going to Waukegan for anyway?
Well, Andy, we're going to do our last broadcast from there. And besides, we're going to have the premiere of that new Paramount picture, Man About Town.
Starring Jack Benny. Get it all in.
Never mind. Hey, Phil. Phil, stick around here, will you? I don't want to have to look for you.
Okay, Papa.
Yeah, I wish Rochester would get here. The train will be pulling out in a few minutes.
Well, it's your own fault, making him look all over the house for that violin. Why do you want to take it to Waukegan anyway?
Because my old violin teacher, Charlie Lindsay, will be at the premiere. And I want to show everybody in Waukegan what he's done for me.
Well, that's the dirtiest trick I ever heard of.
Yeah, well, I'm going to practice every day on the train.
Oh, Greyhound, where is thy depot?
Bill, if you don't like it, you can stay home.
All aboard. Train leaving on track 7 for Grub Hollow, Possum Junction, Squirrel Center, Beaver Creek, Mud City, and Waukegan. Board.
Oh, my goodness, there's our train, and Rochester isn't here yet.
Yeah, I am, boss.
Well, it's about time. You got all the stuff with you?
Yep. Huh? Bag, violin, and everything.
Good. Where's Carmichael?
He's buying the tickets.
I bought the tickets already. Carmichael, come here. Come on, gang, let's go. Say, Rochester, I'm afraid to put Carmichael in the baggage car. He'll have to share a compartment with you.
I don't want that animal in with me. He snores.
Oh, what's the difference? You're only going to be on the train 2 nights.
Well, if he snores the first night, the second night you can get a piece of him in the dining car.
You lay a hand on him and I'll...
Hurry up, Jack, the train's leaving.
I'm coming, I'm coming. That was the last number of the 38th program in the new Jell-O series. And we will be with you again next Sunday night at the same time, broadcasting from my hometown, Waukegan, Illinois. Well, Andy, are you thrilled being on a train for the first time?
I sure am, but say, Buck, ain't it dangerous going through that Indian country?
Oh, no, Andy, I've been through it 100 times, and I haven't been scalped once.
You'd never know it.
Is that so? Good night, folks.
Well, hope you enjoyed that program. You're listening to the comedic stylings of the Jack Benny program. The episode was set on Father's Day and was first heard the evening of Sunday, June 18, 1939 on NBC. Next up, we have The Life of Riley. The Life of Riley evolved from Groucho Marx's The Flotsam Family. The latter series never went to air because the sponsor wouldn't accept Marx in a straight role. The Life of Riley first ran from April to September 1941, but bore little resemblance to the version we best know today, which ran from January 16, 1944, until June 29, 1951, first on NBC Blue, ABC, and later on NBC, the successor to NBC Red. William Bendix starred as Chester A. Riley, quote, radio's resident hardhat, and Paula Winslow as Riley's wife, Peg. Today's episode is titled Father's Day Bathrobes and was first heard at 10 p.m. on Friday, June 19, 1948 on NBC. Let the laughs begin.
It's new. It's amazing. It's Prell, P-R-E-L-L, Procter & Gamble's new Radiant Cream Shampoo in the handy tube. Prell brings you The Life of Riley. Shampoo that removes unsightly dandruff in as little as 3 minutes and leaves hair radiantly clean, radiantly lovely, presents The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. this Sunday will dawn like any other Sunday, but for many men like Chester A. Riley, it will have a special significance. Yes, Father's Day, the day King Daddy comes into his own. And this year, Riley hopes things will be different than on last Father's Day, when he rose early, eagerly anticipating the tribute so rightfully his. And the first person to greet him was his wife, Peg.
Good morning, Riley, dear. Happy Father's Day. This is for you, from me.
From me? Oh, thanks, Dumplin. But really, you shouldn't have done it. Handkerchiefs. Just what I needed.
Do you like them? They're the extra large size.
Perfect for my nose. Thanks, Dumplin. You're really sweet.
Well, you deserve it, dear. After all, you are a father.
Yeah, but I owe that all to you.
And then a little later...
Good morning, Daddy. Happy Father's Day. Here's a little something for you.
For me? Oh, Babsy, you shouldn't have done it. Now, let's see what you... Oh, Babsy, darling, just what I needed, a mahogany lunchbox.
Daddy, it's a cigar humidor.
Oh, well, it's really beautiful, honey. Boy, if I was a cigar, I'd love to lay in here.
And finally, Riley was greeted by his son and heir, Junior, who said...
Hello, Pop. Goodbye, Pop.
Oh, Junior, you shouldn't have... Wait, Junior! Wait, Junior, come back.
What's the matter, Pop? I'm in a big hurry.
Well, didn't you forget something, Sonny dear?
Forget? Forget what?
Junior, do you know what day today is today?
Huh? Today?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. I almost did forget. I'll go get it now.
Oh, that's fine. Junior, wait. Can you give me a little hint what it is?
Well, you know. Gopher poison. I'll get you a pint.
Junior, you know I never touched this. Gopher poison?
Well, you told me to be sure and get gopher poison, Sonny, because you need it for the backyard. I'll be right back.
Well, wait, Junior. I'm going with you. Wait. A lot he thinks of me. All year long, I slave for him, and on Father's Day, he buys drinks for a strange gopher.
Come on, Pop. Let's get home and go to work on the gophers. I got to play ball later.
No, wait a minute, Junior. Look at all that swell stuff Pitlack has in his window here. All men's stuff, too. I wonder why.
Well, it's a haberdashery, that's why. He only sells men's stuff. Oh, come on, Pop. We're wasting time.
No, we ain't. It's a good idea to see what people are trying to sell to people who want to buy. Someday you might want to buy something like that red bathrobe there with the blue dragon. Only $12.63. What a beauty.
Me buy stuff in here? On my income? 30 cents a week?
So what? It means a lot to people when someone they love remembers them. And it ain't the principle, it's the gift that counts.
Yeah, that's right. Mom sure was happy with the chocolates I gave her on Mother's Day.
Yeah, she sure was. But of course, your mother ain't the only one in the family you love, is she?
No, of course not, Pop. I love you, too.
Well?
But you don't expect me to buy you a gift on Mother's Day.
No, of course not. But as the saying goes, every dog has his day.
Yoo-hoo, Mr. Riley. It's me, Waldo Binney.
Oh, hello, Waldo. Where are you, Waldo?
In front of you. Lower your eyes a little.
Oh, yeah. Hiya, Waldo. How's my little neighbor today?
Oh, my... Sagging, sacroiliac.
Well, what's making it sag this time?
I'm disappointed over the gifts I got for Father's Day.
You're disappointed. But Waldo, you have no kids.
I know, but we have three turtles, Manny, Moe, and Jack. And every Father's Day, my wife gets the turtles something to give me.
Oh, I see. Well, that's sweet. What did the turtles give you this year?
A box of dead flies.
Well, at least you got something. My Junior forgot all about it.
Well, you know how boys are. It probably just slipped his mind.
No, you don't understand, Waldo. It goes deeper than that. I always say, show me where a boy forgets his father on Father's Day, and I'll show you a father who's too stupid to raise his kids right.
Come now, I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't get into a pep about
it. I'll go even further. To my son, I'm nothing. Father's Day. To Junior, I'm only a stranger who's living with his mother. I'll go even further. He's an ungrate.
There's the phone, Mr. Riley. Anyone inside to answer?
Junior, it's probably his girlfriend, that Marilyn Morris. He's always gabbing with her. Boy of 13. Does he think about his father? No. All he thinks about is girls. What's happening to the kids of today?
Well, after all, a boy of Junior's age is normal for him to be in love. He'll grow out of it when he gets married.
Hello, Marilyn. How are you, Drip?
Drip. He never calls me that. I tell you, that Marilyn's a bad influence on him.
Oh, my pa's fine, thanks. How's your old man?
You see, she was asking after me. Swell little kid, that Marilyn.
No, he's not around. No, I don't know what to get him. Well, I saw a bathrobe at Pitlack's men's shop. It was neat.
Waldo, I was wrong. He remembered. He remembered.
Mr. Riley, control yourself. Please put me down.
Oh, I'm sorry, Waldo.
Yeah, I know, but... Gee, Marilyn, it cost $12.63.
He's going to buy me a bathrobe. Ain't he a swell little ungrate?
I know, but where can I get that kind of money? Okay, goodbye.
Too bad, Mr. Riley. I guess you're not getting the robe after all.
Who ain't? All he needs is $12.63, right? And it's for a good cause, ain't it? Me. I'll just slip the dough to him so he'll think he found it by accident, see?
Oh, that's ingenious.
Sure. Junior may be 13, but believe me, I'm his mental equal.
Feeling good, Riley?
Yes, sir, and how. Oh, that sure was a nice dinner we had for lunch. Yes, sir. Junior, darling, please go look in my tobacco jar. I want to smoke my pipe and kill off the smell of that gopher poison.
Oh, I'll look for you, Daddy.
No. No, let Junior do it.
Where is it, Pop? It's here. Hey! Hey, look at all the money in here.
Money? You don't say.
Well, I declare. How much?
Well, I'm counting it. It's $10, $11, $12.62.
63 cents.
Oh, yeah. Here's another penny.
Oh, such an odd amount. Is it yours, Riley? It's your tobacco jar.
Now, you know I don't smoke money. So it can't be mine. Anyway, the law says finders, keepers. Congratulations, Junior.
Pop, it's your tobacco jar, so that makes it yours. Here, take it.
Well, Junior, I'm ashamed of you trying to cheat your own father into that money. You keep it.
Babs, is it yours?
Why, no, Mother. I wish it were.
Junior?
Well, gosh, no.
Riley, are you sure you didn't put it there?
Now, why would I do that? I tell you, it ain't mine.
Well, then, it must be mine. Hand it over, Junior.
What a revolting development this is.
Did it work, Mr. Riley?
Yes, Sir Waldo. It worked like a charm. I took the $12.63 that you lent me, and I slipped it into Junior's coat pocket. And then I spied on him.
Oh, I'm all goose pimples.
Yeah, and when he found it, he beat it right down to Pitlack's men's store.
Say, that's just splendid. But what if the boy catches us here in his room?
No, he won't. Let's see. Maybe under the bed. Yeah. Yeah, here's the box he brought home a while ago.
What a loyal son. I'll bet he got you that bathrobe.
Oh, he shouldn't have done it. Now, let's make sure that he did.
Hurry, Mr. Riley.
Yeah, I'm getting it open. Oh, boy.
It's a red one.
With a belt and sleeves, too. And a blue dragon. He remembered Waldo out of a clear sky.
Better put it back now before you get caught snooping.
No, he's playing baseball. Oh, I gotta try it on. I want to see if it looks as good on me as it did on the dummy in the window. Oh, get a load of me and my boy's present. What a wonderful feeling.
Mr. Riley, I heard something. Take off that robe.
No, let me grovel in it for a while.
Junior, are you home?
Yeah, who's that?
Junior, is that... Oh, it's you, Mr. Riley.
Oh, hello, Marilyn. Waldo, this is Marilyn Morris, Junior's little girlfriend.
I beg your pardon. Junior's fiancée.
Oh. Excuse me, Junior's fiancée. Junior ain't here, Marilyn.
So I see.
Mr. Riley, what are you doing in my junior's room?
Well, I just came in for a minute.
If Junior wants to let you snoop in his room while he's out, that's up to him. But once I marry him, it'll have to stop.
She's moving in already.
And just what are you doing wearing my father's robe?
Well, I was just seeing if it's your father's robe.
Why, yes. Didn't Junior tell you?
No. I don't believe it. Junior got this for me for Father's Day.
I'm awfully sorry, but it's for my father. You ask Junior when he gets home. So, just take it, please.
Well, here, Madeline.
Thank you. Bye.
Waldo, I gotta sit down.
Now, don't take it so hard, Mr. Riley.
This is how he repays me after all I've done for him. When he was born, who visited him in the hospital? I did. When he had poison ivy, who helped him scratch? I did. Plenty of sacrifices I made for that boy.
Mm. Oh, dear. Under this vest of mine, my heart is bleeding for you.
Then how does he show his gratitude? He buys a gift from Marilyn's father with my money.
Well, tell me, what sort of a man is this, Mr. Morris?
He's nothing but a big bag of wind. He's an overstuffed, stuffed shirt. He's snooty, he's obnoxious, and... Oh, how I wish I was him.
We'll hear the second act of The Life of Riley in a moment. It's Tops on the Shampoo Parade.
It's P-R-E-L-L, Prel Shampoo.
Yes, Prel, Procter & Gamble's Radiant Cream Shampoo in the handy tube. Prel's a shampoo hit for two reasons.
First, Prel leaves hair more glamorously radiant than any soap shampoo. Because Prel can't leave a dulling soap film. Prel leaves hair radiantly soft, smooth, easy to manage.
Second, Prel removes embarrassing dandruff in as little as 3 minutes. Doctors' examinations proved it. In most cases, even stubborn dandruff was controlled by 2 Prel shampoos a week.
And Prel goes farther than any other known shampoo. It's concentrated for economy.
So try the shampoo in the handy tube. Ask for Prel.
P-R-E-L-L, Prel Shampoo. Leaves hair radiant, gleaming bright. Not a bit of dandruff is in sight. Comes in a tube, handy too. P-R-E-L-L, Prel Shampoo.
Buy Prel Shampoo. And now back to The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley.
Riley! Oh, Riley!
I'm in here, Dublin.
Oh, hello, dear. You should have come to the movies with me. It was... Why, Riley, what's wrong? You don't look well. Your face.
Sorry, but it's the only one I got. I'm okay.
Where's Junior?
I don't know, and I don't care.
Why, Riley, that... Oh, I see. He didn't come through with a Father's Day gift.
No, he gave me something, all right. A headache.
Well, the day isn't over yet. He'll probably remember.
That ain't the gift that I care about, but it shows he ain't got no respect for me.
Oh, now, that's ridiculous.
Here I feed him and clothe him and give him an allowance, and he don't care enough for me to buy a little something for Father's Day. If he acts like that now, what can I expect from him when I'm too old to work and I'm broke? He'll send me to the poorhouse. That's the kind of a son he'll turn out.
Oh, now, Riley, you're exaggerating the whole
thing. I ain't exaggerating. I know his type. And I'm warning him right now. The day he sends me to the poorhouse, I'll cut him out of my will without a cent.
It's a very nice robe, Marilyn. You really think so, Mother? Junior selected it for me. I gave him the money.
But your father can't use 2 robes, dear.
But I didn't know you were getting him one, too. Now, what'll I do for a gift?
Well, you can give your father one of the presents your brother got for him. He got 2, a pipe and pipe rack. And you can return this robe to Pitlack.
I have a better idea. I'm afraid Junior isn't going to get Mr. Riley anything for Father's Day. He was broke this morning.
Oh, that's a shame.
Mother, maybe I ought to send this to Mr. Riley and let him think it's from Junior.
Well, you paid for it, dear, but don't you think...
I'll do it. I might as well face it. Mr. Riley is my future father-in-law.
Yeah,
Yeah?
I've got a package for Mr. Riley. Sign here, please.
Package for me? Well, but it's a rope from Junior. The darling boy bought one for me, too. He went back to Pitlax and he...
This isn't from Pitlax. It's from a Mrs. Morris. Sign here, please.
Mrs. Morris? Well, what's she got to... Well, then, this must be the same robe Junior got Marilyn's father. They're sending it back to me.
Sign here, please.
I get it. The Morrises feel sorry for me.
Naturally, a man your age who can't sign his name.
They took pity on me because Junior forgot me.
Sign here, please. I may be drafted any minute. The Senate is staying up tonight just for little me.
Well, they ain't getting away with it. I'll show that, Morris. I don't want no secondhand leftover presents for Father's Day.
Yes? Oh, it's you, Riley.
Mr. Morris, take back your cheesy bathrobe.
Shop. Mr. Pitlack, this is Waldo Binney. You had a red bathrobe with a blue dragon in your window.
No, that wasn't sold, but I have an excellent duplicate which is also just like it.
Oh, fine. Charge it to me, but deliver it immediately to Mr. Riley. 1313 Blue View Terrace.
Yes, sir.
And put in a card to Pop from Junior.
Yeah?
Package for Mr. Riley. Sign here, please. Just hold this pencil and I'll steer your hand.
Yeah, sure. Wait a minute. This looks like... I thought so. That bathrobe is back again. That Morris, he won't take no for an answer. Well, I'll fix him.
Oh, it's you again, Riley.
Listen, Morris, in case you didn't get me the first time, I don't want this bathrobe. Here.
Mother, I got it.
Oh, that's fine, Dan.
Oh, it's a lovely robe, red with a blue dragon. Mr. Pitlack said they're very popular lately. He sold three today.
I've made out the card to Pop from Junior. Oh, that boy. Imagine forgetting about Father's Day.
Oh, he's just a dizzy infant. I'll leave the robe on the couch in the living room. Oh, Daddy will be thrilled.
Oh, it is nice. When your father sees it, he'll go wild.
Peg, fine thing. Nobody even... What's this? Again with that bathrobe. It keeps coming back like an itch. Jack Morris. Now he's breaking in my house to make me take it.
Yes? Oh, it's you, Riley. Now listen, I'm getting tired.
You're getting tired. Well, it's me that's been doing the walking. I'm telling you for the last time.
Now
take back your bat.
Now
and taper it back. Oh, my feet. I gotta rest. I'll stretch out on the grass here. Oh, I'm dead.
If you can say it, then there's no truth to it.
Who's that?
It is I, Digby O'Dell, the friendly undertaker.
Oh, hello, Digger.
Greetings, Riley. You're looking fine. Very natural.
I didn't see you. I had my eyes closed.
You never looked better, believe me.
Ain't you in the wrong park, Digger?
Oh, no. This is strictly social. I'm on my way to the weekly meeting of the UEPNBS.
UEPNBS?
The undertakers, embalmers, and pallbearers, nature boys, as I am. Our slogan is, let us help you get close to Mother Earth. Care to come along?
No, not the way I feel now. I got troubles, Digger, on account of my kid.
Ah, yes, children can be a problem. Yesterday, a gang of scurrilous scamps stole a sign from a cigar store that had a special Father's Day sale. And then they hung it on the door of my business establishment. Ooh, I was furious.
Why? What did the sign say?
Let us save you all the fuss and bother. We'll be glad to deliver a box for Father.
Sure. Every store has signs. My boy didn't even remember me. I tell you, the kids of today got no respect.
Well, that isn't true of my offspring. My boys worship the very ground I work in.
Father, it ain't the gift so much, but... Well, at work Monday, all the guys will be bragging what their kids gave them, and I'll be ashamed to face them.
You needn't be. Buy a gift yourself and pretend it's from Junior. That will remind the dear lad of his neglect and teach him a lesson for the future.
Yeah. Hey, that is an idea. Digger, you're a pal. Someday I gotta do something for you.
Don't worry. Someday you will. Well, cheerio. I'd better be shoveling off.
Well, Dumplin', how do I look in the swell new bathrobe that my boy Junior gave me?
Oh, you look wonderful, dear.
Oh, you're absolutely handsome in it, Daddy. And that dragon on the back is beautiful.
Yeah, that dragon brings out my personality. I wish Junior was home to tell me how I look in it. I'm going to take another gander in the mirror.
Oh, Babs, I'm so glad we bought him that robe.
Oh, you'll have to tell Junior not to let on that it wasn't from him.
Yes, sir. Some people might have thought Junior forgot me, but not my boy. When he comes home, I want to talk to him private right away before anyone else.
Good evening, one and all.
Well, come right in, Waldo. You're just in time to see me in my Father's Day present.
Wonderful, wonderful. I see they delivered. I mean, you got the robe from Junior?
Why, how did you know that, Mr. Binney?
Oh, a little bird told me.
Hi, Pop. I'm sorry I'm so late, but I finally got it. Pop, where did you get that?
Well, Junior, you're losing your memory. You sent me this robe. Remember? Come outside.
I sent it? Oh, no,
Junior,
Papa.
Don't contradict me. Come in your room a second.
Oh, but Pop
now, don't
is...
argue, Junior. You sent your father that robe.
Yes, Junior, don't be such a dope.
But I... Junior, if you come outside with me, I'll prove that you sent your father that robe. Somebody's nuts around here. But I got Pop's gift right here in this package.
What?
A robe from Pitlatch.
Oh,
I
no.
couldn't get the pipe I wanted to get you. I went to every place in town. So I came back and got the robe. Look.
The same robe.
But, Pop, where did you get the one you're wearing?
Never mind, Junior. You came through for me, and that's all.
Oh, I get it. You bought the other one. You thought I wasn't going to remember you. Oh, Pop.
Well,
you must think I'm a pretty funny kind of a son.
Oh, it wasn't your father, Junior. It was my fault. I was the one who didn't think you'd remember.
Why, Mom.
Well, I put Mother up to it.
No. No, it was my fault, Junior. I bought it.
Oh, no, Riley. You mustn't take the blame. I bought it.
Junior, I was the doubting Thomas. I bought that robe.
Now, wait a minute. I demand a recount. I went to Pitlack Personal and bought this robe.
I phoned him to deliver it.
I gave Babs the money.
And I brought it home.
Quiet. I know where I got it, don't I?
Well, you needn't yell.
Folks, listen to me.
Goodness.
Now, you keep out of this, Marilyn. Next, you'll be saying you sent me this robe.
Why, yes, Mr. Riley. But how did you find out?
This is ridiculous. We couldn't all send him that robe.
Now, wait. Let's get logical. There's only two robes. Junior bought one, and I bought one. Two robes. Get it? Two.
Where's that idiot, Riley? Oh, here you are.
Just a minute, Morris.
Listen, you big baboon. Take back your blasted bathrobes and keep
right
here. Here and here. And stop hounding me.
Please. Now I got five bathrobes. Five bathrobes. Just what I needed.
The Rileys will be back in a moment. For hair that's groomed well, it's Marvelous Prel, Procter & Gamble's Radiant Cream Shampoo in the tube. From Hollywood, California, Mrs. E.M. Green writes,
my hair is very dry and fine textured and has always been hard to care for. But Prel leaves it so manageable, looking so clean and radiant. I'm really sold on wonderful Prel.
You'll be sold on Prel, too, once you see how radiant Prel leaves hair, how quickly it removes unsightly dandruff. You'll sing about Prel.
P-R-E-L-L, Prel shampoo, leaves hair radiant, gleaming bright. Not a bit of dandruff is in sight. Comes in a tube, handy too. P-R-E-L-L, Prel shampoo.
Oh, I never had such a headache. You and your five bathrobes.
Yeah. Well, it's wonderful to know that I'm so lovable.
And so modest.
Yeah, and especially that my boy likes me. Don't I look swell in this bathrobe that Junior gave me?
Yes, but to tell you the truth, dear, it makes you look awful fat.
Well, you'd look fat, too, if you was wearing five bathrobes.
Procter & Gamble invites you to join us again next week to hear The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. The script is by Reuben Shipp and Alan Lipscott. Mrs. Riley is Paula Winslow. Digger Odell is John Brown. The Life of Riley is produced by Irving Brecker.
In the factory, on the farm, in the home.
Hey, Mom, where's the lava soap?
Yes, no matter what you do, you need L-A-V-A, lava soap, to get dirty hands really clean, because lava gets the dirt ordinary wash-ups miss. In every inch of lava's snowy lather, 50,000 tiny scrubbers remove the deep dirt from skin crevices, between fingers, around fingernails. With lava, hands soiled by machine oil, grease, or grime come sparkling clean in 30 to 50 seconds. Mothers know lava is wonderful for cleaning children's grimy knees, hands, elbows. And housewives everywhere are discovering the magic of lava. Mrs. Muriel Nimmo of Montclair, New Jersey says,
even kitchen stains come off easily with lava soap. Lava cleans my hands quickly, leaves them feeling satin smooth, too.
And lava is amazingly gentle, too. So get the soap that gets the dirt. Get lava soap.
This is Ken Niles reminding you to listen again next week when Prel brings you The Life of Riley. And now stay tuned for Truth or Consequences. Good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Well, once again, the Riley family delivered up a great half hour of laughs and chuckles. You're listening to the Life of Riley episode, Father's Day Bathrobes, which was first heard the evening of Friday, June 19, 1948, on NBC. I hope you enjoyed both programs today, and I trust this trip back in time provided a fine addition to your Father's Day celebrations. If you have any feedback on today's program, I would love to hear from you. You may email me at Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, at CFISFM.com. You may also write to me at Old Parter Radio, 2080 15th Avenue, Prince George, B.C., Canada, Victor 2 Mike, 1-Tango-1. From the CFIS studios in Prince George, I'm Corey Walker. Have a happy Father's Day.